Now, I don't know if anyone's been following TV recently and anybody's seen any of the adverts. There's a Tesco advert all about Easter. Obviously, there are other supermarkets trying to make money out of Easter as well. They're not the only one. But in the Tesco advert, they start off by saying, Easter, what's so great about Easter? And anyone want to have a guess what they come up with? Some of the things. Yeah, what do you reckon, Arthur? Well, we haven't got a microphone, have you? One thing that you think they say Tesco would say is good about Easter. Chocolate. Chocolate was number one. Chocolate's an amazing thing. I have all these eggs falling out from somewhere. I have a shed. I'm not, yeah. So, anything else? What else do you think? Anyone remember? Yeah. Who was saying it? Was it Arthur? Oh, go on, Malcolm. Go on. That's good to see Malcolm up the steps. Go for it. Careful there.
Hot cross buns.
Hot cross buns. You are right. That was the other thing. There's piles of hot cross buns. Brilliant, Arthur. Well done. The other thing, they talk about the weather being glorious, and they've got the stereotypical vicar in a garden at a tea party. what else did they have? Oh, then they finish off with, there's this really buff guy in a garage, in this gym in the garage, and he's surrounded by, anyone know what he's surrounded by? Easter bunnies, white rabbits, and apparently you might get visited by the Easter bunnies. And I did think to myself, there's some really great things in there about Easter. Fair enough. Yep, chocolate I'll go with. Easter bunnies in a gym in a garage, a little bit weird. But I thought it'd be good this morning to think a bit more about why Easter is so good. What is so brilliant about Easter? And thanks to Alison and the team for giving us that story, that good news story today. And I want to dig in a bit more into why it's a good news story for all of us. Of course, Jesus coming back to life is good news in itself. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been there at the actual time if you're one of Jesus' friends or one of his family? What an incredible thing to be there and see Jesus come back to life. But what does it mean for us today? That very first Easter, Jesus coming back to life, what does it mean for us now? Hopefully, as we think about all those people in the story that we saw, we can recognize that they were all real human beings. They all had real characters and they all had very real emotions. It's great seeing Peter there. I think Jason was meant to be Peter. And I sometimes wonder why Peter got stuck behind John trying to get to the tomb first. I wonder if he had too many donuts, Jason. You looked a little bit that way this morning, I have to say. Maybe it was the delicacy of the time, whatever it was. But if anyone should understand what's so great about Easter, it's got to be Peter. If anyone would understand what it means to know Jesus, to know the excitement of living life with him and how that can change you for the better, to want to be more like him, it's got to be him. I'm going to read a verse from one of the books in the Bible called Galatians, and then think about how Peter seemed to have really got hold of the good news of Easter, only to let it almost slip out of his hands. And for us today, this might be the first time you've thought about what is this good news about Easter. And I'd like you to kind of be really open and ready to listen this morning. For others, there's always this risk, a very real risk, that we become a little bit like Peter. And actually, we could let something really good slip out of our hands. So I want to encourage you to love this truth again today. So Galatians 2:16 says, "We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. No one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law." Let me just read that again, because this is like just an amazing thing to get hold of. We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. No one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. So just to be clear, this isn't the law that we're kind of living under in Midsomer Norton right now. So that doesn't mean like Sue Kirby can go around 70 miles an hour in a camper van doing circuits in Midsomer Norton. It's not that. This is talking about the law that God had given through someone called Moses. And it was a two-way agreement saying, keep this law, I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. And so I just want to show this morning, give a bit of a demonstration why this is kind of impossible, why this is difficult. So Matt, can you come out and help me? I've got a volunteer, and we're going to do a little bit of an assault course, kind of a mini assault course. It's Darren, are you going to come and help me? So we're going to put the blanket over there, Matt. I better not put this on the side there. And you're going to get one minute, Darren, okay? Hold that for me. Got that? And all you have to do in that minute is, I'm going to put this little egg there for you there. You need to, first of all, you're going to take that all the way around the baptistry and get it back there, okay? Then you're going to crawl under that blanket, okay? 1 minute, 1 minute only. And then you've got to do 30 press-ups, all right? Wait for it, wait for it. Ready? Matt, you got a timer? 1 minute. Okay. Can we give him a bit of a clap, bit of encouragement? Ready? Go! Oh, I'm feeling guilty now. Go on, all the way around. Keep going. You can have that one at the end. Keep going. It's all yours. Maybe share it with the family. Keep going. That'll do. Under the carpet. Go. Under there. All the way through. All the way to the other side. Matt, you're meant to be holding it for him. That time's not up. Go on, keep going. He's there. Right, 30 press-ups. Give him 10 more seconds. 2, 3, go on, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Time is up, Darren. I am so sorry. Give him a really big clap, because that was impressive. And you can take Darren. I'm not sure. I might have to find you something else. I'm not sure if you even eat chocolate. But that's it anyway. Take that one away. We'll work something else out for you. Well done. Okay, so anyway, a bit like this crazy, stupid assault course that was impossible to do. He's never going to be able to do 30 press-ups in that time. No matter how hard you tried with the law, it was impossible to do it. It's impossible to keep everything. So it's never going to be able to give us a good, healthy, right relationship with God, because we all mess up. The verse we read tells us that the way to know God is about faith in Jesus. That is what it's all about. That was the brilliant thing I was saying Peter got hold of, only to almost let it slip through his fingers. Peter had seen something in Jesus. We can read how he had chosen to leave everything he was doing, all his belongings, all his ambitions, and instead to travel and spend time with Jesus. He saw firsthand how Jesus challenged the stuff in society which just wasn't fair, the things which gave the popular people power over those on the fringe. He saw firsthand Jesus heal people. He saw him love and bring confidence to people who'd been hurt. Jesus had even involved Peter in miracles, doing things that shouldn't be possible. Jesus had told him he was a rock. Peter was solid, someone you could rely on. I kind of imagine him in a football team, being that reliable player. You know, he might not have been the most talented, but you love it when a football team, when there's somebody you know he's going to turn up every week. I think they say he leaves everything out on the pitch nowadays, don't they? That's what they say. Peter was solid. He was a rock. There were loads of ways that Jesus made it really clear to Peter that trying to keep the laws to help you know God, it just was not going to work. And this had really sunk in with him. He'd got hold of this. And after Jesus had come back to life, he sent his friends out to share this good news with everyone. And Peter was out there. He was upsetting the establishment, even putting his life in danger, sharing this good news with people. He knew this was for everyone. That's what everything before Jesus had been leading up to, and everything in the future rests on. So, you know, I said that Peter, after all of this, had somehow managed to let it almost slip through his fingers. The grace of God, he almost let it go. Thankfully, he had a good friend who was prepared to pull him up on it. Paul, the person who wrote that passage, the letter we've been looking at, Galatians, there's this lovely bit when he comes up to Peter, this Galatians 2:11. It says, "When Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong." And I love this. It kind of feels so understated in the Bible. I think it is a little bit more like Paul was completely fuming with Peter. So what was this all about? Paul goes on to explain how Peter had gone from welcoming anyone and everyone who wanted to know about Jesus and sharing in their lives, being a proper mate to them, to separating himself out from them. Peter had felt this pressure to compromise from the people. This pressure to compromise from the people, the religious people. And they wanted to hold on to the old religion, the old rules. It looks like they were saying to Peter something along the lines of, you know, it's great you've chosen to follow Jesus, and fantastic that all these people are coming to trust him. What would be really good would be if we could include that in our religion and to still keep hold of these old laws, these old ways. And Peter, good old solid Peter, who really should know better, but I guess was just trying to keep everyone happy, was ready to go along with this. I love it that Paul completely calls this out. I hope we've all got a friend, maybe you can think of a time when somebody has said to you, you are being stupid, in the nicest loving way. You've got something wrong. And Paul did this with Peter. He said to him, you got it. You knew that the only way to be made right with God is by having faith in Jesus. What are you doing? Trying to keep some old laws again? Thankfully, Peter listened to some good advice. For us, when we see Jesus for who he is and what he's done and his love for people, if we trust him, everyone who asks him to forgive the things we've done to hurt God, to hurt other people, and to hurt ourselves are forgiven. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? Because we do all get it wrong. It's completely by God's grace. Let's never try to add that, whether you're just coming to know Jesus or whether you've known him for how many years, John had a cup, for a lot of years. Everyone who has put their faith in Jesus will have a good story of how he has impacted their lives, how he's made a difference. It was fantastic. I'm going to well up now. It was fantastic hearing Lee's mum, Hillary, share her story right here at Christmas. And I can't wait to hear Lee's story in a moment. Knowing Jesus in our lives makes a difference. Jesus dying and coming back to life meant we are free from trying to keep to some old laws, some old regulations. But we do want to be more like him because of who he is. On this brilliant day when Lee is being baptized, here's what Paul goes on to say in Galatians 2, verse 20. And I'm going to finish with this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. He's saying he's putting an end to stuff which separates us from a loving God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body, trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Here's the great thing. It is completely through Jesus' death and resurrection that we can all know God personally and among us. We will never do it by our own efforts, but God is good and gracious.
Oh, Jesus is so good, isn't he? And we do want to encourage you today. If you've not begun that journey with Jesus yet, this is a good moment, and hopefully you'd have a friend here that you can just chat to about what does it look like to experience that grace and that love that says there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. If that's a conversation you want to have and you've been listening to what Matt shared, do that. Do it with somebody you trust, somebody that's a mate, and say, what does it mean? What does it look like to really experience that love of God in my life, to know that we are completely forgiven? All right, on that particular subject, we've got the amazing Lee, who's going to come and share. And do you think it's all right to give him a big round of applause before he said anything? Yeah. All right, let's do it. Lee, come and share.
Hey, I'm Lee Harris. I am being baptized today because I believe in Jesus and what he's done for me. I want to show everybody around me that I am committed. I'm committed to him and want to live my life for him. I want to tell the story of how my journey has changed my life. I learnt about God when I was 6 years old at school. I think that I started to believe at this point. But because we didn't talk about it at home, I didn't act on it until I was 17 years old. When my grandpa, who didn't have a faith, died, I worried where he had gone and realized that life was too short and I needed to explore my faith and discover the answers to my questions. Before knowing God and having a relationship, life at home wasn't always easy. Mum and Dad split up when I was 12, which was really hard and stressful. Me and my sister were adopted, me when I was 9 weeks old, so this is the only life I know. We are both neurodiverse, which has had its challenges in terms of schooling and home life. I've got some health issues and suffer with chronic fatigue syndrome as well as mental health challenges. Fred, my therapist, who's here today, has helped through some really tough points in my life from when I was 12 until this year, when I'm now at a point when I feel well enough to stop our sessions. Part of my challenges is around confidence, social anxiety, and the confidence to talk to people, particularly about my faith. I first spoke about my faith to my mentor, then my mum. Then I spoke to Helen Gilson, mum's brother of Jonathan, Matthew and Rich, who are all here today. After talking to them, I had the confidence to come to church. The first day in church, I sat next to Carly and Dave Kingswood, Nicole and Daisy Heath, and Helen and Paul Gilson. Those are people I already knew and felt surrounded by loving people. I realised now that it was God removing any fears I had, and I felt so welcome and cared for. Church has been a bit of a whirlwind and such an amazing journey. One key point has been Alpha and the Holy Spirit afternoon. Caroline Griffiths shared that she felt God telling me that I was as strong as a lion. Caroline also shared a scripture from 2 Samuel 17:10. This meant so much to me. I know that it was from God. I grew up with a painting over my bed that my dad painted of a lion riding a motorbike, and my mum called me her brave lion. Mum wrote a piece about me saying, "Long may he roar." Knowing that God was speaking into my life made a huge impact. Since knowing God, I've grown in my confidence and feel ready to tackle anything. I bought a car. I'm also learning to drive. I'm also now going out more and feeling so much happier. To sum it up, through God I know that I can do things, and when I have problems I can turn to God and he will help me with them. Thank you for listening.
Brilliant. Oh, I'm a little bit flustered, but in a good way. That was so good, wasn't it? Just hearing the truth of what God does in our lives. Fantastic. All right, just a quick question, because we're aware that some of you may not have been to a baptism service before, and you might be thinking, why on earth do they dunk people in a big old tub of water? That, by the way, we didn't have enough water this morning, so we had to go down to the stream and fill it up out of the stream. I'm not joking, we really did. So if you catch some dreadful disease, Lee, blame Alan Harrison, I think, is the person we need to blame. What is baptism? Just one sentence, really. Anybody here, just give us a wave if you've ever had an x-ray. Anybody ever had actually, that's loads of us. Okay, I don't think I've ever had an x-ray. I always think it must be quite exciting. But the idea with an x-ray is that they see what's inside, isn't it? You go, they take a photograph, and you get this picture of what is going on inside. The good stuff and the not-so-good stuff. And what we're doing today, it is just like an x-ray. Actually, what Lee is doing, he is saying, by going down into the water, this is like a picture, like a photograph of something that has already happened inside of me. God has come in, and the stuff that wasn't quite as it should be, the stuff that hurt me, that maybe hurt others, that hurt God, God has started to change it. And that's the picture of Lee's life that we've just been hearing about. So that's what we're doing today. It's an outward representation, an outward picture of a change that has happened inside of Lee. And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Lee gets to say to the world, like he did so incredibly well, Lee, this is who I am and this is who my God is. All right, we're going to baptize Lee, and Matt's going to tell us your instructions. You ready?
Cool. Okay, these guys are going to get into the baptistry now. And what we'd really like you to do is, as Lee's being baptized, be listening, one ear to God, saying, God, is there something I can share, something good for Lee this morning? We'd love to pray with him as he comes out of the water. And if there's something you'd like to share, let's hear it. It'd be fantastic. We've actually got a couple of microphones, so we can come to you with a microphone. But if you'd like to come a bit closer as well, some of his closer friends, maybe you'd like to come down to the front. That's brilliant. Do come down. Let's kind of get around him and be close this morning.
So, Lee, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour?
I do.
On your confession of faith, we are delighted to baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, do come down and grab a mic and pray for Lee. Give thanks.
Nice one, Lee. Well done, mate. I just want to just say about Lee that it's just an absolute privilege. It's an absolute honour to know Lee. And I think we all remember the first time we met Lee. I remember last year just seeing Lee walking across the grass here, and I was just drawn to him. Instantly just drawn to Lee. And as I've got to know Lee, he's just got a real certainty about his faith. He's got a really strong faith, and it's a real certainty. And when you're with Lee, he's in our house group, I just love his presence, because where Lee is, he just brings God's with him all the time. You can just really feel God's presence with Lee. And I was just looking at this scripture, and this one just came out for you, Lee. The one who believed in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. That's John 7:38. And that's for you, Lee. Just keep going, mate. You're doing absolutely amazing. Just keep going in that flow. Amen.
So I had the pleasure of meeting Lee quite a while ago after Helen Gilson asked me to, you know, just talk to him about God. And as I've, you know, been with him on the journey of preparing his testimony, I've been praying. And, you know, I remember Lee when I first met him, similar to Tom, is maybe lacked a little bit of confidence. But then when I was praying last night and listening to what Lee was telling me, is that he's chasing after life, he's chasing after God. And there's a scripture in Isaiah which talks about on eagle's wings, and just that really resonated when I was praying, just that you're just going to chase after it and God's just with you and he's just going to love you, and we're all enjoying the journey of seeing where you're going. And it's just so exciting, and it's really just inspired me as well to realize that actually, you know, you can do this, I can do this, and it's just really amazing to see.
Well, I was on the Alpha course with Lee, and I have to say, I was moved then, and I've been moved this morning. So it was just wonderful to hear him talking, and just I can relate so much to what he said. So excellent. Thank you.
I was just going to say, Lee, God has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, and out of the ashes, hope and love will rise. Amen. God bless you.
Lee, when I was praying for you this morning, the word that came up, it's actually come up four times this morning since we've started this baptism, and that's the word confidence. And God sees your confidence. He sees your heart and he sees your confidence, your quiet confidence, because you don't shout, you don't push yourself to everybody, but he sees your confidence and he knows. He knows what's about with you. He knows where you will go. He knows what you will say, and he sees your confidence.
Hi, Anisma. I just been so amazed at his journey, and he has brought me along with it. So I want to just thank him for that, and how he has brought some other members of the family together and allowed talks and conversations that we wouldn't have done without him. So thank you, and thank the Lord for doing that through him.
So as you were giving your testimony, I was reminding of the scene in The Lion King of Simba giving a roar. And it's a little roar that comes out, and behind him, his father gives such a roar that it starts everything. And God is going to give you such a roar to bring change where change needs to come. So you just need to start the roar, and God will allow it to pour through you.
Lee, when you went down into the water and you came back up, your cross caught the light and it was just shining. And there's something about that. There's something about where the cross is on you. And it's like it's you've invited Christ in, and Christ is in you. And that's very evident. But what it means is that with you and Christ, all things are possible. And I just want you to hold on to that. Father, I thank you for what Lee has done today. And I thank you that it's more than just dipping into water, but it's him saying he's giving his life to you. And you're saying yes. And Father, I thank you that with you all things are possible, and we look forward to seeing all that you're going to do with Lee in the months and years ahead.
Yeah, Lee, this morning we were praying for you. I just had the word courage, very similar to what everyone else has shared. But yeah, I just think listening to your testimony as well, I think God has given you a courage and he's going to just continue to grow that in you. And particularly he's going to give you courage to just share your faith with others and tell other people about it. Yeah, and it's just almost going to come just so naturally to you. Yeah, so Lord, I just pray for Lee. I thank you for the courage that you've given him and the courage that is based on for what you've done in his life. And I just pray for the people that he's going to move, the people's lives he's going to change. And I pray for encounters with the people around him. Yeah, I just thank you. I'm so excited to hear the stories of what's going to happen in people's lives because of Lee and what you've done in him. Amen.
What a special guy you are. Lee's just a walking testimony of when you ask Jesus into your heart and the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, how it changes things. And my goodness me, have I seen you change. I remember on Holy Spirit Day, Matt said as well that I think, Lee, you're going to do things that would be impossible without God, and I'm watching you do them, mate. It's just amazing to see you on your journey. We did a thing in house group a few weeks ago when we went around the table and we were saying, if we saw each other through the eyes of Jesus, what do we see? And it came to Lee. There were eight people there and every single person said the same thing. Joy, encouragement and hunger for God. Carly Kingswood summed up amazing. She's like, Lee, mate, I got four words for you. You are my joy. Just God bless you, mate.
Yeah, give him a clap. Thank you.